Steve, here at Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to pick up in verse 26 of chapter 15. And so we had looked at the beginning of this chapter a few months ago. We were talking about those I am statements of Jesus. So if you missed that, I encourage you to go back, and it's available on our website. You can go to the Sermons tab or on the podcast and find that one. The importance of living with Jesus, and that is really the only way any of us have any hope. That's the only way any of us can make it, is with Jesus in our life and with the Holy Spirit being there to remind us. And so remember, we talked from chapter 14 last week about Jesus leaving peace with his disciples. And I'll remind you, this is the last days of Jesus' life here on earth. After this, he's going to shortly be arrested. And he knows that. He knows his hour has come. He knows that this is why he came. And remember, he was always about, from the very beginning, when we find him in his adult life, and even as a child. How many remember in the Gospels, Jesus gets lost? Now, how about that for Joseph and Mary? Losing not just your kid, but the Son of God, the one that God had entrusted you to raise, and you lost him. But you go back, so you head back to Jerusalem where he was, and you find him teaching and speaking with the rabbis. And as any mother would do, she goes up to Jesus and says, "Boy, what do you think you're doing? Why didn't you leave with us?" And you remember his response? He wasn't being disrespectful. But he said, even as a teenage boy, he said, "Mom, do you not know that I have to be about my father's business?" And we don't know if she grabbed Jesus by the ear. I don't think she probably did. That's all we know of that incident, was they went back home after Mom and Dad showed back up on the scene. Jesus was always about doing the Father's work. And God wants to remind us as well that that's what we need to be about. Jesus wasn't, he knew that his hour, his time was coming. He knew that Judas had just left him and was going to betray him. And yet he still was about his Father's business. And so Jesus tells his disciples, and he asks us the same thing this morning as we look at these verses in chapter 15 and 16, whose work are you doing? And so that's what we want to look at. Verse 26 says, "But when the Helper comes, who I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming for that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said to you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus goes on and reminds his disciples that it is why he came is what's going to happen in just a little while. And yet, that wasn't the end of the story. And we know because we've read the Easter morning story, probably, or at least maybe heard it, at least in passing at some point. We know that, yes, Jesus died. But he didn't stay dead, did he? And that is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. Because you can go and you can find bones of Muhammad and various other religious figures through history, and yet you can't find the bones of Jesus. Because Jesus is alive. He's not in that grave anymore. He is alive. And that's the hope that we have, and that's the source of the peace that we have. And so he says, listen, I'm going to remind you that you have a part to play in God's plan. And the only way you can accomplish it is if I go away. But remember, and this is about the fifth time now, he's told them not to be afraid and reminded them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to come. And he even says, listen, it's for your benefit that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I go, remember he said in chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again, that where I may am, that you might also be. And now he's reminding them again. Listen, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you empty. He said, I'll still be with you through the Holy Spirit that was going to come. And so he said, he reminds them of three important truths that I want us just to tackle quickly this morning. And the first is this, that we have to remember, and Jesus says to us, he said to his disciples, remember, you have a part to play in God's work. Remember who the disciples were. They were not perfect individuals. They were not the upper echelon of the synagogue world. They were fishermen. There was a tax collector in the bunch. And there was a betrayer in the bunch. So these were not, you know, if we were picking the disciples for Jesus, I dare say not any of the 12 that Jesus picked we would pick. And yet Jesus picked every one of them, knowing all of their doubts and their questions and all the times that they would fail him. Remember, he chose Peter. We've already seen Peter has a loud mouth. He oftentimes doesn't think before he speaks or acts. And yet he was a man who had faith. And yet, as we'll see, not to ruin the story for us, but I think we've probably all heard it before, so I'm not really spoiling anything. This man Peter that tells Jesus, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'll never leave you. Is going to deny not just being Jesus' disciple. He's going to deny even knowing who Jesus is. And yet, even Peter, from that, even though he denied knowing who Jesus was, not once, not twice, but three times, God's going to restore Peter, and God uses Peter to preach a fantastic message and utter in the book of Acts a new age of the church on the day of Pentecost. And thousands of people come to faith in Christ on that one day, but then Peter becomes a very important leader in the early church. So, well, how can that be? He denied Jesus. He did. And yet he knew that he had forgiveness, and he knew that he had a part to play in God's work. That God wasn't finished with him. And friend, we have to be reminded of that same thing. Because though we may not deny knowing Jesus, there's times we turn our back on Jesus or we do the things opposite of what he tells us to do. And that basically is the same as saying we don't know him. And yet God says, no, I have forgiven you. And I've made you new, and I have a work for you to do. And so, but we have to remember that not everybody that says they're playing a part in God's work are playing a part in God's work. Church tradition tells us that all the disciples except for one of them were martyred or killed for their faith. And that one, John the Baptist, was ostracized or, you know, sent to a desert island where he died of old age. But, you know, they all could have recounted their faith, went back to their old life, maybe built a successful fishing business. And yet none of them did. Because they all knew the truth of who Jesus was and what Jesus had told them. And they were crazy enough to believe him. And so Jesus warns them here. He says, listen, they're going to kill you thinking they're doing God's business. But they're not doing God's business because they've not known me and they've not known the Father either. The reality is, just because somebody says they're working for God does not necessarily mean they are. Well, how do we know? Well, we measure it up to God's Word. If somebody is contrary to God's Word, then they ain't working for God. And if they're doing things contrary to what God says to do, they're not working for God. They're not doing God's work. And, you know, there have been a lot of people over human history that thought they were convinced that they were doing the right thing. And yet they were definitely not doing the right thing. They were doing something very evil. There have been a lot of atrocities over human history done in the name of Jesus. And yet Jesus was no part of any of it. And so Jesus wants his disciples, he said, listen, the days that are coming are going to be rough for you. But I want you to know I haven't changed my mind about any of you. And there's a work, there's something that you have to accomplish. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and help you. And that's how you're going to know, and that's how you're going to accomplish it. And so the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He still is there with us. And he's still doing the same thing he did to these ragtag disciples. Jesus said he'll guide you. Jesus said, listen, if you wonder and you don't know what to do, ask God. And God will show you. He said that the Holy Spirit will help you to remember the things that I've taught you. One of the most important things of the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us as God's people. And perhaps you've seen it probably in your life. I know I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in our church life. It amazes me oftentimes when we pray about something, a decision that we as a church need to make. 99.99% of the time, as we've prayed about, you know what? We all feel the same way. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't lead half of the people to do one thing and half of the people to do something else. If the Holy Spirit is saying, see, He's not going to tell people different stories. And so if there's two groups or three groups or four groups that are all saying different things, the problem is somebody's not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're listening to some other kind of spirit. But Jesus also says that the Holy Spirit will help you remember the Scriptures. And can I tell you something, by the way, church, for the Holy Spirit to remind you of the Scriptures, you got to have them in there to start with. That's why it's so important that we as God's people have a time where we regularly digest God's Word. Yeah, we gather, we read God's Word in Sunday school, in worship on Sundays, with Bible study on Wednesday night. That's important. When I tell you that God intends for you to have a regular diet of His Word. Now, I'm going to look at you. I know there's something true about you all. I know every one of you eats more than on Sunday and on Wednesday. I guarantee you that. Every one of you has at least something. In fact, most of us have a lot of somethings on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday too. We know that our bodies need physical food and we need water. Without water and food, we're not going to live. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. We are not going to live and we're not going to accomplish what God has for us to do if we are not regularly taking in God's Word. And by the way, the problem also is not, and this is just free, it's not even in my notes. The problem is not most of the time we don't understand what God's Word is. Most of God's Word is pretty plain. And most of the time we know exactly what God wants us to do. The problem is, there's a lot of times we don't want to do it. Because maybe it's unpopular, or it's difficult, or it's costly. And yet God says, I want you to do it. And can I tell you, it's always best that we do what God tells us to do. We don't always understand it. It's not for us to understand, it's just for us to obey. And trust that God knows what He's doing, and if He's asked us to do something, there's a reason He's asked us to do it. And so remember that every single one of you, whether you're 5 or 15 or 50 or 100, so I think that should get everybody that's here today. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He has a part to play for you to play in His work. There's something God wants you to do. And so the question is, are you doing it? He said, well, how am I supposed to figure it out? Pray. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you are sincerely asking, God will you'll hear God answer. And I'll tell you, there are times when we hear incorrectly and God doesn't throw us out when we do that. Listen, God will help us make a course correction, and all of us have had course corrections necessary in our life where God has had to, like the GPS says, hey, dummy, you took the wrong exit. Turn around and get back on the road that I told you to get on. Thankfully, He does a little bit nicer than that. But there's a second truth that Jesus says and reminds us of. Not only do we have a part to play in God's work, but Jesus also reminds us not everybody will be happy about God's work. Jesus says, listen, there are a lot of people that are in my house that are going to not like you and not like what you say. He says, don't worry about it because they're not really of me and they're not of my Father either. Jesus has said a few times already in the Gospel of John. He's told various people that if they believed Jesus and they knew Jesus, they knew the Father. He says the opposite is also true. If you know the Father, then you know who I am. And you would think, and man, it would be wonderful that we could all celebrate what God is doing in our world. And listen, God is at work in our church. God is at work in our community. And God is at work in our world. And I wish that we could use our energy to celebrate that and say, man, that's awesome. Listen, when another church grows, our church should celebrate that. And when they struggle, we ought to pray with them and we ought to be there to support them. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord are not competition. And if they're working for the Lord, they're our brothers and sisters. But Jesus said, well, listen, don't be surprised. There's people that are not going to like you and treat you badly because they didn't like me either. And they're ultimately, in a few days, going to put me on a cross and nail my hands and feet and pierce my side and kill me. And so don't be surprised when they do that to you if you follow me. There, unfortunately, in our world today, are men and women, and include boys and girls around the world, that are murdered simply because they believe in Jesus. Now, by the way, you know, there's a such thing as truth, and truth is truth whether you believe it or not. And Jesus has told us about truth already in John chapter 8. Remember, he said, I am the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what truth does. That doesn't always mean, though, that truth wins out, or that truth is always popular. Sometimes truth is not popular. And the reality, you know, we can have differences of opinions. And just because somebody thinks a way that's different than me does not mean they're my enemy. Now, we see so much, especially in our political world, that listen, if somebody is one way, then everybody that's another way is evil and bad, and we call them names and sling mud at them. How many understand our world would be a very different place if we learned to love one another and say, oh, you can believe wrong if you want to. I'm still going to love you, even though you're an idiot. I'm not going to call you names and not belittle you. But I'm going to love. Do you think that would make much difference in Washington? I do. Now, there's a whole lot of folks that sit in the Capitol, in the White House, that say they name the name of Jesus. And yet a lot of times they look a whole lot more like the other guy than Jesus. So remember that not everybody will be happy about God. Jesus even says they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. What? He said, yeah, they're going to throw you out of God's house, tell you you're not welcome there. That's kind of shocking. But it's not because the disciples were wrong. It's because the leaders that in that synagogue didn't want to hear the truth. They knew, by the way, what the truth was. But they didn't like it because Jesus threatened their power. Because if Jesus was Lord, that means they weren't. And if people could go straight to Jesus, they wouldn't need the rabbis as much anymore. They didn't like that. They said, no, we ain't having none of that. So Jesus said, they're going to kick you out of my house. But a lot of those synagogues and temples really were not the Lord's house to start with. It was man's house. So remember, not everybody would be happy about God's work. And then lastly, I want to remind us of an important truth. And remember, you have a part to play in God's work. Not everybody's going to be happy about God's work. But then lastly, I want to remind us that there is sometimes difficulty in God's work. An old country song my grandpa had it on a record. He, you know, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Some of you know that song. And, you know, sometimes we get the idea that if we're living the Christian life, it's supposed to be easy. And we're supposed to have everything we want, and things are always supposed to go our way. Can I tell you, that's not true. And if you've thought that, I'm afraid, friend, that's not reality. In fact, Jesus says the road that you're going to be called to walk is going to be hard. People that you thought were your friends are going to turn on you. The place that you thought you were accepted and you were a part of, they're going to throw you out and tell you that you're not welcome there. And yet he says the Holy Spirit will come and guide you, help you, and strengthen you, and give you peace. The peace that we have is from the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. But what does Jesus remind us here in chapter 6? He said, the things that I have, the Holy Spirit is going to pass on to you. And how we have the peace is by having the Holy Spirit live inside of us. And sometimes this world is in a hot mess. And it's not getting any better. And sometimes our own individual world, our homes, sometimes are in a mess. That doesn't necessarily mean that God's left us or that we've left Him. Sometimes it just means that sin is a reality in this world and we live in a fallen, broken world. And yet God reminds us that difficulties and storms don't last forever. They come and they go. Last night, or early this morning, we had some thunderstorms roll in through our area. I don't know what time it was, about 2 or 1:30, 2 o'clock, sometime in the morning. I woke up because it was thundering outside loud, and my goofy phone, because the weather service issued a thunderstorm warning, and so my phone goes off bleh, 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 and wakes me up. Thank you for waiting to tell me that there was a thunderstorm. I knew that already. I wasn't all that concerned about it. I was sound asleep. And yet, when we woke up this morning, the sun was shining. Yeah, the ground was wet. There were some puddles some places. So you tell, yeah, it definitely is rain. But that's the thing about life, too. The storms that come into our life, they don't stay. Satan wants us to think they stay, but the Holy Spirit reminds us that, listen, Jesus was in a grave for 3 days, but he didn't stay there. And so, don't be surprised. He says, listen, there's going to be this work that I have for you to do. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you, and He's going to help you accomplish the things that I have. And some of the things that I have to tell you, He says, I can't tell you because you can't handle it right now. But He says, the Holy Spirit will be with you, and He'll let you know the things that you need to know. And He'll give you the strength that you need to have. So that whatever storm might come in your life, you say, yeah, the storms are here, but I know also the storms won't last, and I know who holds my hand. It's an old hymn in our hymn book. It says, many things about tomorrow I don't understand, but I know who holds my hand. And that makes all the difference. So, friend, whose work are you doing? If you say you're doing God's work, the Holy Spirit confirms that, God's Word confirms that, and God's people confirm that. And remember that not everybody that says they're part of God's people is part of God's people. Because God's people act like Jesus, and they begin to look like and talk like Him. And yes, Jesus was certainly merciful and loving and gracious. I'm thankful that He is. Remember, Jesus was also tough when He needed to be tough. So let's pray again. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Lord, we thank You for the great reminder of Your Word that we can have peace. And that peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, the Holy Spirit works in our life and helps us. He takes us just as we are, but doesn't leave us like He found us. He calls us to be more and more like You, and less like ourselves. Lord, thank You that though we're broken and that we're frail, Lord, You have a work for us to do. Lord, help us to be a part of it. Help us to join You in Your work. Help us to be Your hands and feet. And remember that, yeah, we might face difficulty and we might face opposition. But when we do, we know we're in good company because so did You. So Lord, we pray that You'd help us. It's in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this old hymn of response. And there's a decision you need to make today. Today would be a great day to make it. Maybe it just you need to reconfirm and tell the Lord again, Lord, I will do Your work. Listen, I'm thankful You're here. Thank each one of you are here. And I want you to, you know, God says, listen, I've got something for you to do. And so it's up to us, because God doesn't make us do it. You know, there are things growing up I didn't have a choice to do. Mom said, do it. We did it, or we weren't happy. But God said, you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't be surprised when there's consequences when you don't do it. If you want to be at peace with God, then you've got to do what God tells you to do. And so that's the end of that second sermon. That was two sermons in one day for the price of one. So let's sing together. Just